The perverse competition among victims in the Catholic Church, summary. This week the series offers an interview with Dr. Maria Teresa Comte Grau, president of Acogaita Betania, explores how the Catholic Church in Spain has responded to clergy sexual abuse and reflects on broader conceptual, institutional, and ethical challenges in addressing the victim's needs. Comte defines victims not by age or category but by having suffered abuse of power or crime. She strongly criticizes the absence of coherent criteria in institutional responses, arguing that this lack produces grievances, which in turn generate a perverse dynamic of victim competition. When responses differ across cases, whether due to geography, institutional willingness, or legal framing, victims are effectively stratified into unequal categories, undermining justice and recognition. Acogaita Betania emerged in 2019 as an independent, civil initiative responding to the lack of structured institutional support at the time. It was founded by professionals from journalism, psychology, law, and social intervention who had encountered victims with nowhere to turn. The organization's goal is not only therapeutic care but a structured process of accompaniment, listening in a committed way, helping victims reconstruct their experiences, and eventually facilitating engagement with the institutions where abuse occurred. Comte highlights a major gap in the Church's approach, its failure to integrate insights from social sciences into its official doctrine and reflection. While strong research exists in academic and theological contexts, she argues that the Church's magisterium has not sufficiently incorporated interdisciplinary knowledge, especially regarding abuse as fundamentally an issue of power. For her, sexual, spiritual, and psychological abuses are all manifestations of broader dynamics of power, which remain insufficiently examined within ecclesial structures. A central concern is the Church's restrictive notion of who qualifies as a victim. Comte criticizes frameworks that prioritize minors while placing adult victims in a kind of institutional limbo. She rejects categorical distinctions that exclude individuals based on predefined group membership rather than lived experience of abuse. This, she argues, reflects an a prioristic and exclusionary definition that fails to align with international standards. Bethany's work focuses on long-term, individualized processes. There is no standardized timeline. Cases may take years as victims move from initial contact to psychological support, narrative reconstruction, and potential institutional engagement. A key moment in these processes is when victims present their testimony to institutions, a step Comte describes as particularly intense and destabilizing, as it requires profound trust and exposes individuals to uncertainty about recognition, response, and justice. While financial compensation has become more common in Spain, Comte stresses that economic reparation alone is insufficient. Financial compensation is an element of justice but cannot fully address the harm suffered. She calls for deeper reflection on moral damage across legal, ethical, psychological, and theological dimensions. Without acknowledgement of wrongdoing and genuine responsibility, she argues, concepts like forgiveness or amnesty become empty. Drawing on theological sources, she insists that recognition of guilt is essential for any meaningful restoration. The interview also addresses symbolic gestures, such as papal meetings with victims. Comte questions their effectiveness, suggesting that while they carry symbolic weight, they risk being superficial if not tied to substantive change. She raises the broader issue of visibility, whether the Church is willing to publicly confront abuse in ways comparable to other forms of violence. Ultimately, Comte emphasizes empowerment as a central goal, enabling victims to move from a state of imposed incapacity to one of autonomy and agency. This involves reclaiming their status as subjects of rights, capable of acting and making decisions. She questions why the Church hesitates to fully support this process, arguing that it should be central to its mission. The conversation concludes with a reflection on liberation, overcoming the lasting effects of abuse, restoring dignity, and enabling individuals to rebuild their lives. For Comte, addressing abuse requires not only institutional reforms but a deeper transformation in how power, responsibility, and human dignity are understood within the Church.